Saddle up your horses.
We're going to be talking to you today about God having a plan in your life, God's direction in your life. You're listening to the Covenant Hour, and I'm Patrick Voss, and I'm glad that I'm going to be able to be your host today, and I hope that you will enjoy this broadcast and the ministry of what the Lord is wanting to do in your heart and life. Listen to this song, if you will, by Michael English, Mary, Did You Know? John the Baptist was a unique man in his time, a man called to serve the Lord and prepare the way of the Lord. And in our hearts and lives today, God has a purpose for us and wants to prepare us for service in His name. We too many times in our preparation sometimes get ourselves in a situation where we either get tired of or do not want to deal with the trials, the difficulties, and the circumstances of our being prepared by the Master Potter. But in the God-directed life, in learning God's direction and getting the direction and the plan for our life that the Lord desires, we need to be alert and aware of the work of the Holy Spirit and the guiding hand of God in every aspect of our lives. And when he has put within our heart and testified and confirmed a plan and a pattern in our life, whether it be in our personal life, a work experience, or in ministry, we need to step into it through faith and not step out, not trying to get out of the circumstances that are sometimes uncomfortable, but allowing God to finish the process in making us become all that God desires for us to be. That message we're going to try to convey today in the Covenant Hour as we go through and minister in song and in the preached word. We're glad that you're with us. We're excited about this broadcast. You're listening to the Covenant Hour. The next song we have to play for you is There Is a Redeemer, Keith Green.
Messiah, holy,
Welcome back to the broadcast. And I hope you enjoyed that song, There Is a Redeemer. When you are being prepared to do God's work, sometimes God calls us to do uncommon things. One such individual in the New Testament was simply referred to as a man carrying a pitcher. During the final week before our Lord's crucifixion, Jesus called Peter and John and asked them to go into the city of Jerusalem to prepare the Passover meal. There they would see a man carrying a pitcher. They were to follow him as he led the disciples to the room where Jesus would eat the Last Supper with his disciples. We know nothing more about the man whom God instructed to carry the pitcher of water. But from the culture and time, we do know that he was called to do something out of the ordinary. In the society of the New Testament, it was most common to see a woman, not a man, carrying a jar or a pitcher of water. Yet his call from God was clear, and he carried out his task. By doing so, he earned a place in history by leading the disciples to the room where they would share their last meal together during Jesus' earthly ministry. At this meal, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper of the New Covenant, which today we have week after week honoring Holy Communion. By faithfully following God's call, the man with the pitcher served God and Jesus Christ in a unique way. He was the man behind the scenes in one of the greatest events in human history. When God calls you with certainty to perform a task that is uncommon or unusual, do it with total commitment, for you never know when you will be serving God's children in a very special way. So remember that as we continue on in our broadcast and talk about God's direction in our life today. Our next song is called Adonai, and I love this song. Avalon sings it, and I think you're going to be blessed by it.
One single drop of rain, your salty tear became blue ocean. One tiny grain of sand, turning in your hand the world in motion. You're out beyond the furthest morning star, close enough to hold me in your arms.
God is trying to do work in our hearts and lives today, and I believe that the songs we've heard so far, embracing the thought about Mary and the baby, the Redeemer, Adonai, all considering Jesus and who he is, are touching our hearts about the core of the promises of God and the great possibilities of the Messiah coming to be with us. And in the next song we're going to hear in a few moments by Keith Green, Asleep in the Light, it embraces the fact that we so many times have forgotten who we serve and who we honor. You know, Mary's baby was special. It was the Son of God. He is the Redeemer. He was Adonai. And yet so many times we serve him lackadaisically, forgetting who he was and the gift he has for us and the eternal life he wants to share. And we go about as believers and we don't give out the gift of God and we don't share the gospel. Keith Green's song, Asleep in the Light, should convict us and minister to hearts and show us how precious it is to give of the gospel. And in walking in this theme today, as we are about the direction God has given us for our life and understanding the plan of God, we need to understand that the reason why God has called us is to be his witnesses in the earth. And we need to share his light that people everywhere would get to know that beautiful, loving Savior you and I serve. Pray with me if you will. O Lord my God, you said, I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. Praise and thanks be to you for having loved me with an everlasting love and for having drawn me to you with loving kindness. You did not spare your son, but delivered him up to the cruel death of the cross that I might be your own and live under you in your kingdom. What shall I give to you for all your benefits to me? Lord, give me a thankful heart and a determination to live like Jesus and to follow the plan of God in my life and recognize the power of the resurrection. Help me to be what you want me to be. And when I fail, forgive me for Jesus' sake. Let your daily pardon strengthen me daily. Let your love surround me. Oh Lord, you called me out of darkness into your light, your marvelous light. Help me to share it and recognize that I'm an heir of salvation, a child of God, and a servant of the King. Enjoy the song, but while you're enjoying the song, recognize its message, Asleep in the Light.
Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that that song. You can enjoy that song, but also there's a strong tone of conviction that comes upon me, at least, when I hear that song, Asleep in the Light. I appreciate the ministry of Keith Green, and the body of Christ misses him today, because in his ministry and in his love for God, there was a cutting edge. He really had a burden for the lost. He had a real burden for the needy. He was a real servant of God, and he challenged the church to come out of the closet in the sense of it's ministering in the light of the gospel, touching people's lives, and being real and relevant, being real and relevant. Don't hide behind hypocrisy. Don't hide behind just religiosity. And that challenge we need today in our sense of service, let it be that uncommon service that, hey, whatever it is, God, I'm going to serve you. And I'm not worried about the robes of righteousness in the sense of having material type robes or ideals of men or grandeur or things that I need or esteemed or being esteemed by my colleagues. I need you, Lord, in my life to be an effective vessel is the most important thing. And if we can do that, we can be of such greater service to God than anything we could ever hope and dream. So we can learn a lot, and Keith blessed us in his life, and we miss him in the body of Christ, and he certainly challenged us, and we need to challenge the body of Christ today, people. We really need to. The next song we're going to have is called Testify to Love. Then I'm going to bring a message to you considering God's direction, and you're getting with the plan. God's direction, and you're getting with the plan. God bless you. Testify to Love by Avalon.
As long as I shall live.
What an awesome song, Testify to Love. You know, that's what we're being called to do today, folks, testify of his love. What an awesome thing. You know, we can say all the nice preachy things we want and try to tell and describe with great clarity the gospel, but to just give a testimony and minister of what Jesus' love has done for us, there's nothing like it in the entire world, and that song really exemplifies that. Well, you're listening to the Covenant Hour. We're glad you're with us. We're going to get into our message today, even though we've touched it a little bit throughout the different parts and sections of our interspacing between our songs and ministry. But I want to thank everybody before I get into the word, for their donations, for their encouragement, considering this streaming broadcast. And I want to thank you so much for your prayers. God is doing the work. He's making a way. He's helped us to get this started and get it going. And for those who have gone to our website at pinguillo.com/CGM and have given a donation or have helped out to encourage people to go there and to read or listen to the Word or get into the Word of God, we're just so thankful for that. And we're hoping to see God bless through Covenant of Grace ministry and fellowship in a tremendous way in reaching this area with Bible salvation and teaching and encouraging the body of Christ, equipping the saints, touching those around about with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're glad that you're with us today. So let's get into the Word of God and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 and 15 through 19. I'm going to be reading today from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Notice that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Our God has blessed us with so much in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. God has chosen us in the beginning of time. Verse 5, He destined us to adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. God's choosing was for us to become the adopted of Christ and to be of His praise and glory, and He has honored us by being able to walk in His grace and to know His good pleasure. Verse 15, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of the heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. By the power of God's Spirit and the gifts He has given you and the wisdom and revelation, get that, the wisdom and revelation, because of that enlightenment, He can help you to walk in the calling He has bestowed upon you. Not manly wisdom, not revelation, quote, of just things in this world, but that wisdom and revelation comes to light through the Scriptures that helps us to understand the calling and the purposes of God, that helps us determine the purpose and the plan of God in our daily lives and to serve the Lord with gladness. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe according to the working of His great power. In Ephesians, God shows us His delight in us, knowing His choosing us and our adoption by faith in Christ, which He has destined or determined for us. His will, His perfect will, which the Scripture calls His good pleasure and will for us. God has a perfect plan for your life. We many times in seminary have debated the permissible or the perfect will of God. And I don't know where you stand on that issue, in a sense. God's permissiveness towards us walking in some other plan than His perfect will is only in the fact that He allows us to take the courses we do, either to walk outside the plan of God or with the plan of God. But He hopes to get us back on sight in His vision in some way, fashion, form, somewhere in our journey, if we only continue to love Him and honor Him. I don't believe that God has, quote, a permissible will. He has a perfect will. But because so many times we cut out or get out or jump out of the fire or get out of the flame. We, you know, by not allowing God to test us through our trials, but we run out of the trials or get out of the trials and go in another direction or say, hey, the heat's too hot, I'm out of here. God has to get us back in the same place of molding and shaping us in some other time, in some other place, in some other dimension of our spiritual well-being. And, you know, it's only then we sometimes recognize that, hey, I've gone through something like this similar in the past. Well, yeah, you did. You never got the lesson learned, so God's having to teach it to you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. The Bible does say that God will make a way of escape for you, but that doesn't mean he wants you to escape the testing. He wants you to get through the testing. He will empower. He will make a way for you. Too many times we try to get out because of the uncomfortability of the circumstance, the trial, or the difficult situation we're in, or the testing period we are going through. But God wants us to wait through it, gain wisdom, gain revelation, and accomplish his will. In Ephesians, he hopes the believer would know and understand their hope and strength, a confidence in the perfect, not permissible will of God, seen through the heart of faith, the work of grace that he wishes to establish in our lives, as well others in the ages to come. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from whom shall come a ruler, who is the shepherd of my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.'" Well, we know that King Herod didn't want to pay him homage. He wanted to destroy him. Verse 9, "When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. They worshipped him. They honored him. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." They left in another direction, being warned of God. Here is our biblical example, or at least one of them in the scriptures, of a lifestyle of following the plan of God. These were wise men, the scripture says. I don't know of what degree spiritually they are, but they were wise men and understood some things, and they definitely had a love for God because they wanted to be a part of the Messiah and being a part of his birth. The wisdom of God in his perfect will is set apart in these passages in a very distinct manner. And if we will just catch a glimpse of it, it can help us in our daily walk with Christ and to be able to serve God radically in uncommon valor and to serve him with love and devotion. The first thing we need to recognize is God directs. Here he directs by a star as they observe and understand through proper biblical interpretation, this is the hour and the time of the Messiah's coming to earth. God directs. We need to recognize that he's the master conductor. He's the one that's putting this beautiful orchestra piece together, this concerto of our life. And if we'll allow him to direct us and to put the piece together, it's going to be something beautiful and glorious, and it's going to sound a tune that is going to draw people unto the Messiah. We need to allow the Lord's direction in our life. and not listen to those sounds and noises that so easily can get us off course. We need to allow the Lord to help us, to direct us, to guide us. And He does so through His Word, through the work of the Holy Spirit that we need to take time out for in our daily prayer devotion to learn of Him and to know the voice of the Lord, and through the fivefold ministry: prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, the whole gamut. God wants us to know that He has a teaching ministry for us to learn of and to know of His ways. Secondly, they set their faith to feet and began a journey. They set their feet to faith and began a journey. We need our feet to take upon faith and to walk in the power and the plan of God in our journey. Too many times our faith is a static faith. We state that we believe in such and such, and these are our doctrines and these are our beliefs, but we are not recognizing that that faith has to produce something. There has to be a corresponding action. Our feet take us in a direction. There's action. And if our faith can have that, God can put us where He needs His servants to be to get out the gospel of His kingdom. Too many people are staying at home. Too many people are eating around the banquet table. They're getting fat on the Word of God, but they're not sharing of the love of Jesus in this generation. 3, when the star stopped, they recognized the place where Christ lay and paid Him homage or honor, and they worshiped Him by giving of the most excellent or best gifts. This is a two-parter within the vernacular of this point I'm trying to set. They recognized the place, and they worshiped by giving their best. We need to know the place where God is and where He is abiding and where He is establishing something in our lives. Where Christ is, that's where I want to be also. If God's in it, if the Lord is working, if the anointing is there, if God is touching the hearts of men and women, if He's accomplishing the perfect work that He's called for you to do, and He's at work in your midst, you know you're in the place you need to be. And if you'll worship Him and give Him your best, not your leftovers, but your best, God will bless that excellency. But too many times we give God the leftovers. We cook something up, re-microwave it, whatever it is. It's not the best of us. It's not the best of our intentions. It's not our best sacrifice. We need to recognize the place where Christ is, and that's a place where we need to be given our best. And God will honor that excellency. The wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There was nothing cheap about it. They gave from their heart. They didn't hold anything back. And that's the least that God is asking of us today. 4, they returned another way back because of the warning of the dream not to go back to Herod. They obeyed the direction of God. They obeyed the direction of God. We need to be able to learn and distinctly understand the voice of the Lord. The Bible says His children know His voice. They know the shepherd's voice. They know when a wolf or someone else is speaking or saying something contradictory to the plan of God, because they recognize the one who cares for them. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In our life as believers, we know who truly cares for us. In my personal life, I know those who have my best interests at heart. And God certainly does. In obeying the direction and the voice of God, we can see fit God's work and plan. But too many times, we listen to distracting voices. We hear the cry of someone else, and we don't get that voice of God. We don't recognize that pure sounding symbol that He gives us to recognize, that says, hey, that's Him. In the midst of your trials, in the midst of your circumstances, hey, when you're going through something, hey, you know when He's there. And I want you to know today, we need to obey the direction of God. And 5, they stuck to the plan of God rather than listen to the dictates of the man Herod. They stuck to the plan of God. Stick to the plan. Honor the Lord. When I, many years ago, was called into the work of the ministry, God gave me a step of, God gave me various steps that He said would take place in my life that I would see fulfilled. And by almost the end of my pastoral ministry many years ago, I'd seen almost 90% of those dreams and visions take place. to a place where now I'm asking God for a new vision. I'm asking God for new things. I'm asking God for new, fresh revelation and wisdom that I might honor Him. They stuck to the plan of God. Don't be afraid to stick to the plan of God in your life, folks. Remember this. God gave me this word for the church this week. And I gave it to the church earlier this morning, and I want to give it to you. Sometimes it's better. Sometimes it's better with what you have got than what you think you want. Sometimes it's better with what you have got than what you think you want. Remember the movie Bruce Almighty? Remember when Bruce answered everybody's prayer? Said, y'all, yeah, just forget it. Y'all can have anything you want. And he just answered everyone's prayer. The chaos it caused, the problems it caused were unbelievable. Well, folks, the same thing is true so many times in our spiritual life. There's a reason why God doesn't, quote, answer all our prayers, because we don't always pray true prayers according to His will and the premise of His scriptures. If we did, we'd get answered every one of the prayers we ask, because we understand the heart and the mind of God. But sometimes it's better with what we've got than what we think we want. Or that we take what God has given us and worked it through and not jumped out of the bathwater and jumped into something else before we finished what God has called us to finish. We need to be finishers, folks. We need to accomplish some things. And God's calling for some people like that today. Amen? Don't be so quick to move on until you've fought the good fight of faith. The wise men did not alter their course unless directed to by the Lord. They gave their best gifts with a humble heart of thanksgiving, then only deviated course because the warning given by a dream. Do not depart or go in another direction in your spiritual journey until you finish the course God's first set out for you to fulfill. There are too many Christians who have left the work of God and have given up. They've gone on. They've passed on. They went on to another task, without first completing the first task God set out for them to accomplish, leaving broken promises, broken hearts, and lost opportunities behind. I challenge you, fulfill God's directive in your life and allow God to help you to get through it, to succeed, and be victorious. We're going to go out with this song, Only the Redeemed, by Kenneth Copeland. It's been a pleasure to minister to you. And God bless you today. In Jesus' name.
As I look around me in these days we're living in, I question how much longer will it be? Will the Father reach his over to touch his Son on the shoulder and says, Jesus, go bring our family home to me? Upon us, and with a shout, God's trumpet, we'll soon be gone.